Hey guys, it's been a while, but I'm Jordan.
And this is Jeremy.
And you're listening to the episode 4 of the Shaved and Tapered podcast. We have a great show for you today, and it's pretty long overdue, so without a further ado, let's boogie. So guys, we're back against all odds. There was a lot of technical difficulties and human error. Do you think human error is a good way to call it?
Yeah, I would say human error. I've been recovering from pretty bad sickness recently.
For a while, he claimed to have the coronavirus, but it turns out it was just probably acute bronchitis.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody would have time for that.
No, it would not be good to have the coronavirus. I would hate that, but maybe they'd give me my degree even if I got diagnosed with it. They'd just give it to me.
Kind of like how if you die while going to school, they'll give you your degree posthumously. So it's like, okay, you didn't die for nothing.
Would they really? Would they give it to
some
you?
Some colleges do. I'm not entirely sure. It's kind of like in the same vein that if a college gets burned down, they give everybody a degree.
But yeah.
All academic buildings have to be burned down.
Oh, that's...
really difficult. Yeah. I know. I've thought about it and I planned it, but it's very impractical.
I did hear this thing about... if your roommate, like, commits suicide or something, that you get, like, a 4.0 for the semester.
I also heard that if someone kills themselves during the SAT, you get a perfect score, so...
wait, what? Really?
Yep. I don't know if that's true. I hope it's not, because I don't think a perfect score is worth seeing that.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think getting a 4.0 is complete use of...
someone losing their life.
Yeah, that's not good either.
And plus, nobody cares about your GPA after college. As long as you have a degree, you're basically okay unless you're trying to get into grad school or postgraduate
school. Yeah. Well, I think your first job cares a little bit. It's like no one cares about your high school GPA, in my opinion. And then you go from your high school GPA, you go to college. No one really cares about your college GPA except your first employer. And then after your first employer, it's all about experience.
I don't know. I think it depends on that. I mean, but what can we say? We don't even know if we're going to graduate from college.
It's a great point. I mean, you and I are currently swim coaches right now as well. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that my boss doesn't even care if I'm in college. I don't know if he knows if I'm still in college or what my academic history has been. He's just happy that I'm there to help out.
Does he know if you've been to 3 different colleges?
He knows all the colleges, and he knows about my various studying abroad incidences.
The coronavirus has become such a very horrible thing that's been going on, but statistically it's still not even that bad compared to some of the other things that we've had to face in the world.
I saw a great meme about the coronavirus yesterday. It was from South Park. And it was Randy Marsh laying on his back. He had a towel over his forehead. And he was like, son, there's only a 98% chance that I'm going to survive. That's basically what the coronavirus is. Because I believe as of right now, I could be completely wrong in just pulling this number out of my ass. But I believe it's like a 0.4% fatality rate.
I think, yeah.
Which is 3 points above what the seasonal flu is, which it kills 0.1%, which, like, don't get me wrong, 0.1% is still a ton of people when, we have 7 billion people, and I'm not good enough at math to understand how many people that is, but it's definitely more than have died so far.
Yeah, I think, like, with especially the coronavirus, like, it, from what I've heard, is that you don't, and I could be wrong about this, but I've heard, like, my roommates and my other friends say that, like, when you get the coronavirus and you're old, that's the people who are dying, is, like, the older people.
Old people, immunocompromised people, and babies are the people that are dying, which, if we're looking at pure statistics and being very critical and very harsh and looking at it from a completely pragmatic view, those are the people that always die.
Yeah.
Like, people are dying in retirement homes, but as horrible as it is to say, you don't go to a retirement home to live a long, happy life.
Yeah. But I will say that we're actually recording together right now for the first time.
Huge.
Which is interesting.
Monumental change. I'm hoping that this is how it's always going to be, and that life will be better and we'll be happy. And the energy that we'll have when we're able to see each other and actually have a conversation instead of me sitting in the manager's office of the summer league pool that I used to work at and Jeremy sitting in the garage of his frat house will be... The energy level now should be what it should be like after we graduate. And we're going to have at least two recording sessions, including this one, that have this energy session. So I'm very excited about it.
I'm excited for when we both potentially graduate. We will graduate. We're gonna prove it to everyone.
I filled out my form, and even though I was studying abroad and missed the deadline, they said that they'd rush it for me. So we're good.
Well, there you go. See, right? There it is.
Against all odds.
Hopefully we can start possibly doing video recording along with our audio, and we can record our podcast and put it up on YouTube so that everyone can watch them. Not saying we'll get a lot of viewers, but it's better than nothing.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, everyone starts somewhere, whether
it's big or small. As Gary Vee said, don't care about the number of subscribers, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And I think we're gonna try in the near future and getting us like a nice banner of our awesome logo that my friend made us.
Oh yeah, I've got a guy who makes banners. I got a banner guy.
You got a banner guy?
I got a banner guy. I know a guy who's got a banner guy. But on to more pertinent swimming related news and just sports in general. Speaking of the coronavirus, did you see about how they're talking about they have approximately 3 months to decide whether or not that we're gonna have the Olympics?
Yeah, I did read about that. I got an ESPN update about it on my phone, which I was like, ESPN covering Olympic sports? I was like shocked by it at first because I thought that was an NBC thing. But yeah, I did read a little bit about it and the postponement or cancellation, and I feel like it would be horrible for
either
of those things
to happen.
I don't think
they can postpone it. I'm not sure about a majority of the sports, but I know sports that involve endurance, such as swimming and track and the various cross-country exercises and some of those other things, you can't postpone that because some of these Olympians are on multiple year training cycles for this 1 5-week period. We can't cancel that. We can cancel it, but we can't push it back. So I think worst case scenario for swimming and probably track, because those are the two sports that I follow more regularly than most other sports, is they're not going to cancel it or push it back. They'll just host something that's similar to Worlds, like was hosted in Guangzhou last year, and just crank that bitch up to 11 and give them really big medals.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll upset some people because they probably won't be able to get as much prize money as you usually get as an Olympian.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way that they can postpone it because how could you explain to a coach or an athlete who's been in a multi-year training cycle, it's like, hey, like, I know you've timed this to hit it perfectly, but could you just dial it back another 2 months? And they're like, what? No, that's not how physiology works at all.
Yeah. I mean, another thing is the amount of money that Tokyo has spent trying to build all the structures and all the facilities that they need, along with them not receiving revenue back after building all that, because the Olympics create such a big revenue pool for spectators and
tourism.
TV deals and all the tourism and stuff. Like it just creates like a lot of money incoming for that country.
It helps
country.
Mitigate the cost of what they're sinking into building this place, because I'm sure a lot of people do know that once you are hosting a Olympic year in your city, there's a high possibility that your city's going to go bankrupt because of how much money you sink into preparing for it. Like Soup, whatever the last Winter Olympic was.
Seoul?
No, that was the one in Russia.
Oh.
The Winter Olympics, not the real Olympics.
I don't know what that one is.
I gotta Google it. This is gonna bother me. 2014. Sochi.
Mm-hmm. So the Sochi Olympics.
Yeah, the Sochi Winter Olympics was super sketchy to begin with, partially because, you know, Russians, but also because of how much money that they rushed into building this place and all the complexes. And I believe almost none of those complexes are used today, much like many of the Olympics villages and Olympic competition areas. aren't used at all. Similar to like the Greece Olympics, which is the first Olympics that I can really remember watching and being like, wow, this is the Olympics.
Yeah, same.
I've seen on Reddit, under the subreddit abandoned porn, the Greek Olympic cathedral from the 2004 Olympics. And I believe that's pretty common. The one in Germany in the 90s,
yeah,
same thing. And I know for a fact that Atlanta and Los Angeles, which has hosted Olympics, they're still in use, but...
Yeah, we just had our girls' conference meet at the pool in Atlanta.
A lot of places... A lot of meets are hosted at that pool. It's a fantastic pool in Hot Atlanta.
Yeah, I think it used to be an outdoor pool, and they put up a wall to make it an indoor pool, and it looks really cool now.
And those bright yellow walls.
Yeah, the bright yellow. Not a big fan of yellow. Yellow's not my favorite color at all.
All my ex-girlfriend's favorite colors were yellow, so. Take a quick interlude, because I have to go to the bathroom, and then we'll pick it up with the real talk of the world.
It's your turn now to get made fun of.
I think I see where it's going.
All right, guys, and we're back. So, since we are a swimming podcast, I feel stupid for even saying that, but we got to get into some swimming talk, and there is a lot of amazing swimming talk. Given that it's been about 2.5 weeks since our last recording, we can now go back and roll around SEC, ACC, Big Ten. Is that all? Is that three conferences that we're hitting up?
Yeah, I think those are the three that we're going to do. And then,
and man, was there some crazy swimming. We talked about it before we talked, before our last break, that there is going to be some crazy fast swimming this year in college swimming. The conferences are going to be way faster and way more amped up than we thought they were going to be. Because I knew they were going to be awesome, but how awesome they were blows my mind.
Yeah, like, there were so many great swims just all across the country this past couple weeks. And they were out of every single conference. Like, it wasn't just one conference at SLAC. There wasn't one major person that stood out.
There were
drastically
a lot of people that stood out. And within that, each of those people had a lot of amazing swims.
Yeah, and what we were talking about and predicting scores and rankings of how everyone would finish, I think we did a pretty good job, you and I, together, just guessing blindly, because we don't really trust college swimming's ranking system. But I think with the SEC, I mean, you got the... Let's take the SEC women, for example. We got Tennessee in first, Florida in second, Kentucky in third, Georgia in fourth, and Auburn in fifth. I mean, I don't think many people expected Tennessee to do as well as they did. But I think you and I both chose Tennessee to win that conference meet.
For sure. And I think that they did better than even we were expecting them to be doing.
Yeah, like it was outstanding. Some of the swims out of that conference from the women... you had Erica Brown from Tennessee in the 50 free go 21.03, winning it. She also won the 100 fly in 49.3. Like, it was just a great, like, meet to – I didn't really watch much of it.
I was able to see a couple of swims, but I was coaching a lot of the time, given the time difference. And I was happy to be able to go back and see some of the highlights, and I was keeping all the notifications going on Meet Mobile and SwimSwam and everything, and it was ridiculous what some of those people were dropping.
Meet Mobile is a fantastic app.
I just can't wait until they have real-time set up so that we can get the splits of the swimmer that's in the water, but I know that's a long way away.
That would be cool. Maybe we could invent that. Maybe we could do that.
Hey, can we patent the idea? Trademarked.
Trademarked. Now, on the men's side, you had...
Florida destroyed
it. Florida did
destroy
it.
Oh, my gosh. They had an over 200-point lead on Texas, which... Texas A&M is good. They got cool-ass colors, so that's a lot of style points going for them. And right behind Texas A&M was Georgia, followed by Alabama and Missouri.
Now, Texas A&M and Georgia had a very close race for runner-up in the conference. That was less than 20 points. That could be literally one relay swim getting DQ'd. Like, relay points are freaking huge.
That's why the real glory comes on being a relay swimmer, not a sprinter.
Yeah, that's where all the scholarship money goes.
Though usually they are sprinters.
Now, I know that we talked about this a little bit when it happened, but Kieran Smith out of Florida, man.
Oh, my god.
That was insane.
I think every practice that I coached at that week, we talked about his splits.
Yeah.
Because... And we talked about his splits, and then when we were going over fundamentals and coaching just freestyle drills and everything, we were really hitting on, you need to make sure that you keep your stroke count. Know what your stroke count is and keep it consistent on every 25. Because he was taking 9 strokes a lap.
That's insane. 9 strokes a lap, especially when you're...
Holding 50s? Yeah. Went out in a 48, came back in a 49? Ridiculous.
Yes.
I wish I had been there for that, because I know we talked a lot and we're talking out of our asses the last time about what our favorite event was, but the 500 free is my choice of a distance event, because I remember when we were probably, I think, freshmen or sophomores in high school, USA Swimming said, the 500 is now considered a sustained sprint, which I thought was just absurd. But looking at that, that's what a sustained sprint is.
Yep. In my opinion, a 500 free is 100% an all-out sprint.
Oh, it is now? Yeah. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, his... I would have been happy to go what his, like, split... His best split, I would have been like, man, if I swam that in a 200 free, I'd be damn happy. And he's holding that for a whole 500?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Now, did you see Zane Grothy's tweet after he did it?
Funniest tweet ever. Great gif thrown on top of it, because technically he still is the only person to go before
him. Yeah. And the thing is Kieran Smith didn't even come close to 407. He went 406.3. Oh, that's still over half a second.
Over half a second. And he went so much faster from the morning into the night. He dropped almost 8 seconds, I believe.
Yeah.
And something even more absurd than that.
In my opinion, he had the spotlight on him the whole meet after that first relay on the first day, where he let off Florida's 800 free relay with a 130.1.
That's ridiculous. That's so fast. And I just want to say, looking at his prelim swim, he was going into finals seated fourth with a 414.5. And he finishes with a 406.3. That's absurd.
I'm going to look up his best time ever before that, because I just want to know how much time he collectively dropped, like, from his lifetime best, and that just his 500. But his 200 free, like, I watched that, I watched the video of it on SwimSwam, and I was like, oh my goodness, he's a body length ahead at the 100. He's going to throw down something disgusting right now.
And that is exactly what he did. So... His personal best was a 406.3, and before that, he went a 418.1 at Tennessee versus Florida, and a 416.9 at Speedo Winter Junior Championships East, and that was in 2018. End of 2018, he went a 424 Georgia versus Florida. Slowest in the last 2 years was a 427.8 Florida Atlantic versus Florida, and then just the steady climb. And then, boom, 406.3.
Yeah, so he dropped 10 seconds going into that meet, I think, from his personal best.
Ridiculous, because he dropped so much time that morning, I was like, I'm going to Disneyland after dropping that much time in a 500 free as a college swimmer. That's crazy. And then he comes back at finals and drops that much more time.
Yeah, like he dropped 2 seconds... 2.5 seconds in between his personal best before the prelim swim and then his prelim swim, which for a conference meet is very good. Dropping 2.5 seconds, that's fantastic.
And then coming back and dropping more time on top of that, and also having nothing but lights out swims the entire meet.
Yeah.
His slowest time was a B cut in the 100 free.
Where his 100 free wasn't slow by any means, going 42.1. That's just and finishing in third place. But this 400 IM was also fantastic. He went 337.3, 400 IM first place. Like, That's amazing.
And it's great to look at the college swimming latest time standards because it's all from the 2020 Southeastern Conference champions. And in the second to last column, you see personal best, and it's personal best all the way down.
Yeah.
Not only did he break all these records, but he had quite literally the meat of his life.
Yeah, he definitely did. Like, that was starting off your meet with having a great swim is a great way to go into all of your other races.
Psychologically, just building it up. And I just clicked on the 500 free stroke dynamic or whatever you want to call that, the race analysis portion, and it is ridiculous. He averaged over 4 meters per cycle.
Jeez.
Right?
That, like, I remember we looked at it when we talked about Abby Weitzel in one of our other videos. But just looking at the race analysis on college swimming, it's a great thing to have, and college swimming's done a great job. It's just they need to work on their points. Oh, your phone go off? Come on, Jordan.
It was my laptop.
So now you're having technical difficulties.
No, I'm the technical difficulties.
But when you look at it, there were other great swims across the board at SECs. Both on the men's and women's side, Shane Cassius had a great meet as well. But in my opinion, I think that I want to give the swimmer of the meet to Kieran Smith.
I think that's beyond fair, and he definitely earned it.
Yeah, especially after breaking that American record. That was just crazy. And then also posted one of the top 5 times in history in the 200 free.
That's true. And that's an underlooked thing because there's just so many fast 200 freestylers nowadays that he's still placed in the top 5, and he swam that 500. It's crazy.
I'm going to be excited to watch him in NCAAs.
Oh, yeah. And I'm interested to see how he's going to grow and develop.
I think NCAAs this year is going to surprise everyone. I think it's just going to be an insanely fast meet compared to even prior, like, way faster than prior years. Prior years have been insane. And there are some things that have happened that we didn't really expect. But I think this year is going to be something special to watch.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair statement because we were talking about how fast that these conferences were going to be, but I think that NCAAs on both the men and the women's side is just going to blow what we think of fast swimming out of the water because this was a ridiculous race, and I feel like there's going to be people pushing him, and he's going to be able to push at the top, and there are people in every single event across all the different conferences that are going to be able to be pushing the envelope that much further.
Yeah, and I mean, Let's go to the next conference. Let's go to ACC's, for example. ACC's was one hell of a meet as well.
Oh, my favorite conference as well as yours. I understand you think it's the best conference ever.
In my opinion, I do. But again, I will agree to disagree with any of our listeners. But everyone has the right to their own opinion. And I think ACC's is my favorite conference to watch because I have so many friends that currently swim in that conference. And my mother swam there. And it's just like another great thing that it's also I'm more familiar with it because I've swam in the pool that they swam at before. And I have friends on other teams, and it's just a great
environment. It's a really fast conference, and it just keeps getting faster on both the men and the women's side.
Yeah, like on the women's side we got again, another prediction of ours that worked out well. We had UVA winning, and UVA won the meet.
Though that was a very clear,
yeah,
who's going to do it.
But NC State did put up a very good fight. It was only about 150 points. But UVA, their freshman class is so fast.
So fast. And they've recruited a lot of really fast guys and a lot of really fast girls. So they're just going to continue to get better, and they're definitely not going to stagnate.
No, and I feel like Todd DeSorbo over there at UVA has done a fantastic job coaching.
There's been pushback in the past with some of the coaching changes since Bernardino, but this guy seems like a great fit for UVA, and I think everybody top to bottom really likes him. I could be wrong, but that's just what I've heard from the people I know that are swimming there currently.
Yeah, like, I think what they have there, it's going really well.
He's got a cool name, so that helps.
Yeah, I have the last name DeZorbo. That's just such a cool name. And I follow their Instagram page as well, and their Instagram page always seems like
very exciting, very fun.
It's very neat. It's very like well done.
I love the way that they do the shout outs. It's not tacky, it's very good, it's not too in your face, and it really does kind of get ridiculous how many people they help. NCAA down. NCAA.
Yeah.
It's like, we get it. Your team's amazing.
I like their Instagram takeovers that they let their athletes do. I think that's a cool thing to have them involved in it. But one of the swimmers that I wanted to point out to you is Catherine Douglas from UVA. She.
You don't even have to point her out to me because I saw her swims. Ridiculous. I know I've said ridiculous way too many times, but that is the word of the day when talking about conference swimming right now.
To keep in mind, she's a freshman, though. That's insane.
It's not ridiculous. It's just absurd.
And she gets my vote again for the swimmer of the women's conference meet.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. That 251. 200 IM was exciting to watch.
She broke the ACC record by 3 seconds, almost 3 seconds.
That's crazy. And her 100 fly was a 50.8. That's really fast.
Yeah.
And her 200 breaststroke still got third, 205.8. Nice.
Like I'm not one to point a stick or anything, but that's just like a very odd lineup for me.
Yeah, I don't understand that lineup. And I know they've changed conference format around very minutely in the last couple of years, but even then. But hey, I think the fact that she's able to dominate with such a unorthodox meet lineup shows a lot with how fast and how talented she is.
Yeah, I completely agree. And Amy, let's shift to the men's side of the conference, which is a little bit different, with NC State coming out on top, and then UVA in second, Louisville in third, Virginia Tech in fourth, and Florida State in fifth. NC State has been dominant in that conference for so many years now, but UVA's put up a fight for a couple days. Couldn't quite hang with them when it came to the end.
I think that UVA men's is definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with within the next couple of years, especially with my very good friend Noah being on that roster soon. It's going to be very exciting.
Oh, really? That's good.
Noah Nichols.
That's good. I mean, with what's going on in the world of swimming, just me watching ACC swimming, and it might not be as... In my opinion, I don't think ACC's has the top speed from 16 to first. Like, the top 16 might not be as fast as other conferences, but the times are so close just to get in the top 16. Like,
it's a very deep meet.
Yes.
All the way through. But A through B finals is very close.
Oh, yeah. But I... One again, another swimmer that stands out to me is Ted Schubert from UVA.
Gotta
guy
love
Ted.
Shoes.
Gotta love Ted. I mean, you and I have swam against him in Virginia before, and
great guy, fun to talk to.
Kind of a goofball, which is good.
Very much a goofball.
He won the four. He won the 200 IM. The 400 IM.
That was a
IM.
Very close race. The 200 IM.
200 IM. I think they had five guys within 0.2 of each other, all for first place. And Ted figured out a way to get his hand on the wall first.
Thank God for Colorado time system.
Yeah. I don't know what would happen if it was
we got to judge it by the eye. It was a five-way tie. And they just keep swimming it off. And I'm sure Ted would be tough enough to still win after, like, the 30th swim off.
I mean, what I would wonder is, do they, like, have... Like, if people tie... Like, say there's a three-way tie for first place.
Do they have to swim it off?
Yeah, well, do they have to swim it off, or do they have to...
cut the medal into three pieces?
No, they bring extra medals, but I don't know if they bring three extra medals. Like, say three people tied in 400 IM. Like,
I think
the odds of that happens is very small. But the odds of it happening in 53 is probably really high, so they might have three medals just in case for 53, but they won't have a 400 IM.
Yeah, but usually the medals aren't printed with what event they're for on the back.
Yeah, they do.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I forgot. I swam Division III for my... They just had a sticker.
And ACC's, they had a cool little case that it came in, too, when they got on the podium.
Oh, yeah. The cases that the CAA medals came from when my brother was swimming were so cool.
Yeah.
And then he bit into his medal and lost. lost his tooth, but he lost that tooth so many times it's not even funny.
But Ted and the 400 IM, I watched that race.
I love his live. 400 IM.
It, the way that he swims it, he just goes out.
I wish like I could DVR all of Ted Schubert's 400 IMs.
He goes out like a cat out of a cannon. Like
get a ESPN red zone of Ted Schubert.
A 30 for 30 on 30, Ted Schubert.
It's all just the 400 IM.
It's all of them. Only about his
400 IM. They should have an ESPN red zone for NCAAs.
That would be cool, but I feel like that would be really, like, complicated.
Oh, I'd get a headache. I'd probably have, like, a stroke from it. It would just be, like, zoomed in, and they're all just coming towards you.
Oh, it would be crazy. You'd be, like, looking, and then it would just switch, like, to right in front of their face, and your mind.
Hypothetically speaking, they could have something like that for conference season since, what, there were three conferences fought on the same couple of days?
Yeah, that would be cool.
I'd watch that. But then again, I just had three monitors up.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think we had our main TV in our living room back home, and I was introducing my roommates to the world of swimming because I don't live with swimmers. And they were just like...
Narps.
By the end of it, they were like... It was almost like horse racing where they would like pick. It's like I pick lane like three or whatever. They were just like starting to pick, and they were getting all like intrigued in it and stuff. It was so fun to just open up the world of swimming to my roommates because... They always tease me and give me flack for being a swimmer. They're like, swimmers are all weird. And I'm not disagreeing.
We are weird.
We're just a different brand of people. I mean, you have to be crazy to wake up at four in the morning to swim.
And it definitely warps your perception of the world.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But with Ted Schubert, let's go back to him. He got first in the 200 IM, first in the 400 IM, and with his 400 IM, he went out, I think, his first 200 after flying back. He was, like, at a 144.
Yeah, why not?
He just said,
go off, Ted.
See, I'm going to go. And then he got fourth in the 200 fly on the last day. He was looking a little tired towards the end, but he
yeah,
still
okay,
put up a 141.
That's still ridiculous. Hit 141, and you said he went out in a 144, which means that his butterfly is drastically faster than his backstroke.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think... That he went out in 144 in his 200 in his 400 IM. I think he just got tired, and you got to do the turns, the transitions, and it's also a 400 IM, so you can't kill yourself. You still got another 200 after that.
Fly then die, but whatever. I'm not his tier.
But again, my vote for swimmer of the beat has to go to Ted.
And that's not even coming off of our bias on knowing and loving Ted.
I mean, Ted was in the race for highest point scorer until 200 fly. But, I mean, he should be happy. I think he did all personal best. That's awesome for him. Happy for the kid. But, again, there were other great swims out of the conference. Coleman Stewart in the 100 and 200 back. NC State backstroker threw down. I think he went 137, two back, something like that, 137, 138. Which is fantastic going into NCAAs. He'll be one of the top seeds. And I was watching his 200 back. I watched the 200 back, and he even jammed his finish.
Oh, like, he definitely did.
It looked like he hurt his hand.
Well, we could talk forever about that, but let's go ahead and move on to our third conference that we're talking about today, which is the Big Ten.
That meet was so hard to find on Meet Mobile. It took me... probably 15 minutes to just find it. I don't know why.
Every time I type in Big Ten into college swimming, it sends me to this weird high school meet. And
yeah.
I mean, it's cool. I'm glad that they have on college swimming that they swam that meet, but I would much rather look at the Big Ten conference and not two medium-sized high school teams.
Yeah, I mean...
But why not? Why not? Hey, swimming is inclusive.
I mean... For me, the Big Ten is just another great conference. It's just a little weird for me because it's just swam. I'm not used to the Midwest or any of those teams out there.
Whatever belt that is, the Rust Belt, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like the Rust Belt is like the northern Midwest team. Never mind.
way above my pay grade. But the women... Let's go over the results a little bit. Ohio State in first place. Michigan in second place.
With a significant margin over Michigan, mind you. Over almost 200 points.
Yeah, 200 points over Michigan. But Michigan still put up a great fight, as they always do. Indiana in third, Northwestern in fourth, and rounding out the top five, we have Wisconsin.
Go Badgers.
Go Badgers.
Which, I'd like to take that to segue into my vote of Swimmer of the Meet from Wisconsin, Go Badgers, is Elizabeth Nelson. She had three first places, and I like the look of her because of what those races were. She got first in the 200 IM with a 151.6, which is pretty sick. I don't really like backstroke, but she got first in the 200 back with a 148.7. And then she finished it off with a 100 back and a 49.8. And with her relay speed split being a 49.7, which was she was leading off on that 200, 400. No, the 400 medley relay.
Yeah, and she also had a couple other great relay splits as well. She went 21.9 in the 50 free leadoff split in their 200 free relay and 23.9 in their 50 back relay split, which I don't know why, but they time trialed that relay, which I was really confused about.
I didn't even know you could time trial relays, to be completely honest.
You could time trial anything you want. I almost time trialed the mile one time.
Can I time trial a woman's mile?
I don't know how that would work, being a women's mile.
You said anything.
I did say anything. This meet was a great meet. Another great performance from everyone. But I had trouble trying to watch this. I couldn't find anything about Big Ten trying to watch. I couldn't find the women's meet.
My live stream kept trying to crap out on me. Not just because I have bad internet, but it was just faulty. But hey, I'm going to blame that on it being in the Midwest. I'm sure y'all are great people.
Could you find the men's meet at all?
No, I couldn't.
I couldn't find either of them. I looked, and I just couldn't find them.
I thought I found the women's one, but I believe it was just live results, which, yay.
I found live results for a couple meets, but the live results I weren't updating. So
I had a live result from 2016.
Why?
I don't know. That was the first one that
found. Like, how are we supposed to find results and look at how people are doing if we can't even find them?
Smoke signals, I guess.
On the men's side, we had Michigan winning the Big Ten, Ohio State in second, Indiana in third, Wisconsin in fourth.
Go Badgers.
Go Badgers. And Northwestern in fifth. And Jordan, I think you had another conference room of the meet here.
I was just scrolling through the initial results, and I chose this guy just based off of his name, that I was going to throw his name in the hat for Swimmer of the Meet, but then I looked at his results. And he's actually a pretty dirty sprinter. I mean, we got Bruno Blaskovich, which is from Indiana, whatever their mascot is. Not bad.
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers?
Yeah, Indiana Hoosiers.
Go Hoosiers. Go Badgers. he got first in the 50 freestyle, going in 18.96, which if we went back, what, 2 years ago, an 18 second 50 freestyle, we would have collectively shat our pants.
Oh, yeah.
And then he got second in the 100 fly with a 45.44. That's pretty cool. Almost got the exact same time for the seconds and the milliseconds. And then he also won the 100 free at a 41.88, which is an exciting swim. I wish I knew what this guy looked like. I hope he looks like what his name implies. Just kind of like a BJ Blaskovich from Wolfenstein. Be pretty great.
Again, no idea what you're talking about.
Cool.
But fun fact, he is the only one in the country right now with an A cut in the 50 free.
That is awesome.
So he's number one in the country right now in the 50 free. 50 free, I think, is going to be a close race this year. It just won't have Caleb Dressel going 17.
I'm telling you, I'm going to put it down. I don't know what Bruno looks like. I'm going to research it after we're done, but I hope he has a sleeve tattoo because I'm pretty sure that's what you need to win the 50 free at NCAAs.
We talked about that on the last one. We talked about how much you love tattoos and you have to have a sleeve.
I want to get a sleeve, and I want to see how much better I am at sprinting after I get it. It's probably noticeable.
But I'm looking at top times in the country right now for the men's 50 free, and one of our rival schools, I guess you call it, at ODU is William & Mary. And them out of the CAA, they had a fantastic conference meet. But they had one guy, Colin Wright, who's their big sprinter, just went insane. He went at 18.98, and
he didn't lose his mind. He swam really fast.
He didn't lose his mind. He just swam really, really fast. But he did break the 19-second barrier for the first time in his career, going 18.98, and I think he was the first person in Virginia, like Virginia colleges, to do that.
I believe so too, and that's huge for a mid-major team.
Yeah, that is big for a mid-major.
That just shows that across the board, no matter what level you're swimming at, what conference, what team, what college, whatever, swimming is getting ridiculously fast top to bottom.
Yeah, and fun fact, he did that on a relay leadoff.
That's even better.
In his individual 50, he went 19-1 in prelims, then he went 19-1 again in finals, and then later that night, they had the relay, and he just goes crazy. He goes ham. He went 18-9, and apparently the place went insane when they saw that on the board.
I can't even imagine how exciting that would be, and I also cannot imagine what the frustration of being a sprinter would be. That every day, every time you compete, it's like boom, right at the same time. Boom, right at the same time. Because I know I got frustrated if I was within a second of my best time, much less a tenth or a hundredth of a second.
Yeah. I would enjoy being a sprinter because I would like to just power lift.
I'd like to sit on the podium more. Yeah, I agree. Powerlifting, yeah. Cardio kills gains.
But there's always been this stigma, I feel like, in the swimming world where if you're a sprinter, you don't swim as much as everyone else, but you just powerlift.
When the going gets hard, the sprinters get out.
I have that on a shirt. I have that on an old Alabama swimming shirt. Loved wearing that shirt. Wore it all through high school.
I'd give my lift nut to be a sprinter.
I would too, to be honest.
Yeah, right? It'd be so much cooler.
Like, I remember when we were in high school and we would talk about swimming and we'd go to meets and I would be like, Mom, why are all my friends in the 53 and I'm not? And she was like, I'm not paying for you to waste my money and swim a 53.
If it takes longer for you to go to the bathroom than it does for you to swim, it's not a real event. That's what my friend told me.
I feel like if you have some sort of problem, it takes you forever to go to the
bathroom. I believe he was talking about peeing, but yeah.
But, I mean, it's just sprinting to me, I would love to just be able to get out of practice after like 45 minutes and just call
it. Get out of practice after 45 minutes and then be like, oh gosh, I worked so hard today. It's like, how many yards did you do? I don't know, like 3,000.
And then all the distance swimmers look at you like, get out of my face. Yeah, I just did 10 face. Grand. Get away.
Get away from me. And it's like, I can't even count to 10.
But I will say, me going away to our conference meet, the CCSA championships, we're at the University of Tennessee, and our team swam out of their mind, the men's team. I didn't go to the women's meet, but our women swam out of our mind for Conference USA as well.
Out of their minds.
What?
Not out of your mind, out of their minds.
Yeah, they swam out of their minds, that's right.
Yeah, that would be hard.
I don't English well.
Vicariously.
That's why I'm still in college. But I want to give a shout out to my friend Philip Svedberg from Sweden. Love you, Philip. In my opinion, he was the conference swimmer of the meet.
Note that there is a lot of heavy bias into this.
There is a lot of heavy bias. But Philip swam, he's a 3-time champion now in 100 fly as a senior, finishing out his collegiate career. But he's still got one more meet. He's going to the NIC meet. Up in Cleveland, Ohio. But with that, let's just transition to talking about the big controversy that happened over a couple weeks that we were gone with Sun Yang. Well, give me your thoughts on Sun Yang.
Oh my gosh, I've had to hold this in the entire time. There's the one thing I've wanted to yell ever since I saw that is Sun Yang does steroids, and the tragedy of the broken vial scandal. Oh, get out of here. It was clear that he was on steroids. Are you kidding me? But now, you know, part of me wants to be like, oh yeah, oh, he's innocent. How could you? I'm always rooting for an underdog. And the fact that he got banned, which, actually no, I'm going to take that back. No, I can't say it. I got to stick to my morals, stick to my guns. Sun Yang deserves all the punishment that he got. In my humble opinion, I don't think what he got was enough. All they did was ban him. They didn't take his medals away.
That's true.
Which I think is huge, because that's the moral behind it. Though, if we're all going to be honest, the Olympic Committee hasn't been exactly the most pure and great organization that they should be, but hey, that's okay. But I think that they need to strip him of his honor, strip him of the medal, strip him of everything, because even they allowed what he did to go on for so long that you either need to take everything away or not do anything. And the disrespect that he showed swimmers at Worlds last year and almost every single swim meet that he's ever been to just makes me think less of swimming as an organization and as a sport, because they let someone like that act that way. I think they should have fined him and slapped him with some penalties after what he did on the podium, saying, "Oh, I win, you lose, you slow."
Yeah, that was my biggest thing, and that's when I first noticed that this was starting to take steam, is when he was treating other athletes like that. And I think that even though that someone doesn't shake your hand,
you don't have to shake hands. We're not supposed to shake hands right now. Coronavirus.
That is true. Coronavirus was a thing a year ago, really. But you can't disrespect someone, especially when you know. I wouldn't say not shaking someone's hand is a sign of disrespect. I would say that it's not a sign of disrespect. They just don't respect you. They're not showing it, but like, if I don't like you, I don't have to shake your hand.
Right. And I think that it's not that they're not trying to disrespect him per se. They are disrespecting him, which I think he deserves, but I think they were more trying to stand behind the whole moral and the matter of fact that everybody knew that Soon Yang was on every PED known to man. And the fact that they see his victories as fraudulent.
Yeah. I
think it's much more complicated of an issue than, he was disrespected by them. So, you lose, I win.
Yeah. I just didn't like him getting in the face of other athletes.
That's not right. It's not the way to play it. And I know that he thinks that he can do whatever he wants since he's gotten away with so much. Which makes me wonder what he's doing right now.
He's coming for you, Jordan.
He's coming.
What if he's listening to this podcast and he's just like,
so
I will
come
find him.
No, don't come for an interview. Don't come for
But to be fair, I do think that Soon Yang's swimming career, like, I remember I watched his mile the first time he came onto the scene.
Oh, it
at
was
the Olympics.
Unreal. It was so exciting. But then I looked at the splits and I was like, wait a second. Something doesn't add up.
His stroke technique is so perfect. I love watching his freestyle.
Beautiful freestyle. But then when he did his victory celebration and his teeth looked like Jaws from James Bond, I was like, this guy's evil.
And he's so tall as well. He's really tall.
What, he's like 42 feet tall or something? 6'8", but whatever.
42 feet, 6'8", it's about the same number. It's all the same to me. I'm not that tall.
Yeah, manlet.
Well, all right, I wouldn't say I'm not that tall. I would just say I'm the average height for a male.
Yeah, in what country?
But on that note, guys, remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Like, subscribe, unsubscribe, like us again. Post it. Tell your mom about us.
Yeah.
Tell your coach. Tell your friends. Tell your friends' moms. Tell your mom's friends.
Tell everyone in the world about us.
Except for Soon Yang.
But on Instagram, we're at Shaved and Tapered. Twitter, we're Shaved Tapered. I don't know why they make us do that. That's kind of annoying. They won't let us put "and" in there because it's too long of characters. Yeah, I get it. But if Instagram does it, let us do it. And then on Facebook, just follow our Facebook page, Shaved and Tapered. Like us. Follow us. Feel free to send us an email with your outro songs and interlude songs if you would like.
We will pick one and give you a shout-out.
Yeah, we will give you a shout out. We're running out of ideas with those. But thankfully, with the world of technology and hopefully me not having any more technical difficulties, I will be able to find many more good songs.
Wait, you? Me? I found most of the songs.
I found a couple.
I found the intro song, the outro. No, you found the outro song. The interlude songs.
I found a couple interlude songs. I found one. But yeah, thank you guys for listening.
Love you guys.
Peace.